Do you love comic books? Are you looking for a way to help out the Infamous Podcast? Then we have the thing for you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, click on the link, sign up for your free trial of Comixology Unlimited, and you'll help out the show. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. All right, so before we get started with this episode, we just want to give you guys a 100% spoiler warning. We're talking Star Wars The Last Jedi, reviewing it, and we will spoil the hell out of this movie because there's no way to talk about it without it. So if you haven't seen Star Wars The Last Jedi, now's the time to hit pause and come back and listen to it afterwards because we've got some pretty great takes on the movie. With that said, this is episode 126 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm sorry.
This is Darth Johnny.
I'm sorry. How'd that go? I'm sorry.
So
take right. that mask off.
Now, real quick, before we get to the review, Comixology has a 94% off Star Wars bundle going on right now until January 2nd. So go to infamouspodcast.com/Comixology, and there will be a link there, and you can help out the show and get your Star Wars on.
Click the link in the show notes.
All right. With that being said, there is no news bites. There is nothing we are talking about but Star Wars The Last Jedi today.
No, there's no news bites for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, there won't be.
We'll
yeah.
talk about the news bites when we talk about looking ahead for 2018.
Yep.
In 2018.
And so, yeah, we're pushing everything back a week. We're going to do our best of movies next week. We had planned to just do a mini version of this going into the movies we liked best in 2017. But we've had a problem with some of the fans when it comes to this movie. And we wanted to talk about it, talk about some of the negativity that's out there. And just give our share our view on the movie.
Yeah, that's more what it is than anything.
More than anything, we agree for the most part on the movie. I don't think there's anything we've disagreed about yet.
Not yet.
But we both have come at this very logically.
Yeah,
as lifelong fans, you know, you got to see the first one in theaters. I was only a few months old when the first one came out, mm-hmm. but the first Star Wars is the first movie I ever saw. Empire Strikes Back is the first movie I ever saw in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rancor in Empire Strikes Back or in Return of the Jedi was the first thing I ever had a nightmare about.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, wow. I mean, my DNA is ingrained Jason. In Star Wars.
Mine was yeah. Jason.
So,
because I was probably too young to see that movie and see yeah. that movie. My parents were cool about letting me see stuff that probably other parents were like, no, you can't see that.
Well, I had a Chewbacca doll that was taller than me until I was like 4.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I like seeing the Rancor when I was, 83?
Yeah.
So I was 5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I could see 6. Where that,
yeah. Yeah, like it was you know, kind of scary.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Jedi, no, Jedi was...
83.
83, yeah. Okay. All right. So... I'm just going to get this out of the way. I give this movie an 8.5 out of 10.
Excuse me.
Gazoon tight.
An 8.5 out of 10?
8.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Now.
I'd go with a straight 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's fair. And I think we talked about this last time, like with the Justice League and stuff like that. My Justice League score got adjusted down a little bit. To a 6.5.
We need to start printing off the scores.
We do need to do
because
that.
I can't keep track anymore. Yeah.
Or actually just put them in the show notes.
Well, or not. Yeah.
But so like in 6.5 to me is still a very good score for Justice League.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. But the things that I didn't like about Justice League on the second viewing really, I was much more involved with
see,
watching
it. See, I forgot
it.
That you've seen it a second time.
Yeah.
So, and I talked to somebody about this at work today. The things I had an issue with the first time I seen The Last Jedi
yeah.
were still an issue with the second time
right.
and the third time because I've seen it 3 times in 6 days.
And I've seen it twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things I had a problem with, I definitely still had a problem with.
Right.
And I told you what I felt a change that they could have made.
Right. There was
that,
well, there's
that
a few of those.
Kept
right.
almost everything the way it was.
And I can say by the third time I wasn't as bitter about the things that bothered me.
Okay.
As I was the first time. Because the first time I was just like, eh.
So you well, saw you know. It. Did you, you didn't see it by yourself. On
Yeah, I
You
did.
Went by yourself.
Yes, okay. I did.
So I went by myself on Friday morning. And I told you, when it ended, I just kind of hung out in the theater and like processed.
Right.
While listening to John Williams' score.
Right.
And which is something I do on all the, like, I do that on a lot of movies. Like, sure. Even if I know nothing's coming, I like listening to that, like, last bit of the score.
Right.
As I'm pulling it up on Spotify to save to listen to in the car ride home for most movies.
Right.
Like, King Arthur had a great soundtrack, which I would have totally sat through if I saw that one in the theater.
Okay.
Anywho. I love this movie.
Yeah.
Like, even with the flaws, I love this movie.
As I've told people, because people obviously know what I am and,
yeah,
you know, all that, I was satisfied. If I come out of that, out of a Star Wars movie and I'm satisfied, that's a good thing, mm-hmm. because I've been very dissatisfied by Star Wars movies and I've seen them all in the theater, including special editions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I was not overly satisfied. I was just satisfied.
I mean, before we came in here to record, we were sitting there watching the theatrical release of
Return of the Jedi. Yeah,
you know, so, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
It's
like I tell people, I don't have to watch the original trilogy because they're in my brain.
Right, but they're, I still like to watch them.
I mean, I like to watch them every once in a while, but they're so ingrained that, you know, I hear the voices in my head at this point of that stuff.
Trust the Force, yeah. Johnny.
Well, you know, it's just that whole thing where it's like, you know, they've been a part of my life almost my whole life.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I seen Star Wars when I was 3.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it's ingrained in my system at this point.
Right.
You know, they'll cut me open and I'll bleed whatever color a Rancor bleeds.
The blue milk. Yeah. You'll bleed blue milk.
I'll bleed blue milk. There you go. Awesome. That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool and scary and terrifying all at the same time.
Nurse myself and drink it.
Okay.
And with my facial hair, I'll do this. Have the same like grisly look on my face that Luke did.
Yeah, exactly. So I really liked that this movie picked up directly at the end of The Force Awakens.
Right, yeah.
Like, There's no break.
There's no year, like it's, 2 years later.
It's maybe a half hour later, maybe, right. You know, a couple hours, whatever it is.
People are still dying on Starkiller Base, right?
Right. Well, it's, yeah. So, because they knew where the Rebel base was at the end of Force Awakens,
yeah.
Which is why, because, you know, Snap Wexley is the worst pilot in all of the Resistance.
Traitor!
I think he did it on purpose. And if you read the After Empire books,
right?
You know, or the Aftermath books. Yeah. He's not the best person in the world, at all. But anyway, I loved that opening scene with Hux and Poe, and you know he's waiting for his engine to charge up, and you know, can you hold? I'm waiting for Hux. I mean, that's what that
skinny pacey guy, you know,
that's exactly what Poe would do, because that's what he did to Kylo.
Right.
You know, who talks first? Do I talk first? Yeah. Do you talk first? I can't understand you with all the apparatus.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he is this swashbuckling. Well, I told you he's Hal Jordan.
Yeah. He's the fly boy. Like, you know, I was when you said he was Hal Jordan, I'm like, yeah, he's got the Maverick thing going. You know, he's Tom Cruise, Maverick, Top Gun.
I'm shocked he doesn't refer to himself in the third person.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like, if he did that, it would not be out of character.
I'm surprised there wasn't a volleyball scene, and you know, with him and
him and Finn
playing volleyball.
Playing volleyball against some of the other fighter pilots.
Yeah.
Now, I think some people are having a problem with this movie because the good guys do not win.
So it's a flawed system now.
The attack on the dreadnought is a, you know, quote unquote victory.
Right.
You know, but it cost them a good chunk of their fleet.
Right.
Okay.
Worst strategy ever.
Worst. Just like, no, it was a good strategy. It just was not tactically implemented correctly. Those bombers were the slowest ships I've ever seen.
Yeah.
it's like, why, how is this a good idea? And why are you flying so close together that a little bit of shrapnel will take out three of them at once? Because that one, the one like tie wing.
Yeah, when like, it flies up and hits the bombs.
It took the one and then it blew over and then blew over. And it's like, come on, guys. Yeah, so like, but
like,
again,
wouldn't you send some of those bombers after the other Star Destroyers too?
Right.
Like just to distract them.
Yeah, as a distraction of some
kind. And why weren't those Star Destroyers like flying in a little faster to defend the Dreadnought? It's like, you know,
I don't know.
The guns were on the bottom. You could have been on the top.
So the Star Destroyers are, you know, I mean, they even said it in dialogue. They're too slow. They're not as maneuverable to keep up with, you know, the medical
first
frigate
Star
and the blockade
runner. Star Destroyers
runner.
Are crappier than the Empire Star
Apparently,
Destroyers.
Apparently, so.
Because the Empire Star Destroyers could chase a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Like, you know, through an asteroid.
So they're
belt.
Bigger. That's the thing, right?
So
first
they're burning
ones
more fuel.
Like, they're way bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
they're not
again,
super Star Destroyer size, but they're bigger than a normal Imperial class Star Destroyer.
Vader's.
That's a super Star Destroyer.
Yeah, what was it? I'm having a brain fart on the name of it.
Super Star Destroyer.
Yeah. Like, they're that.
It
they're,
don't matter.
Like, I think they're roughly that size.
They're that big?
Yeah, they're
so
that
they're the
big.
Size of a small city.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50,000 people.
And
then
you had the Dreadnought, and then you have Snoke's big ass ship.
Yeah, that thing.
Which was like the stealthiest of stealth bombers I've ever seen, right? That's what that thing looked like.
I was saying it looked like Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Like the designed Spruce it. Goose. Like Howard Hughes was like, I can build that for you.
I can build the, the Spruce Sith Goose.
See, whenever I hear Howard Hughes' voice, I hear Terry O'Quinn
from
Rocketeer.
Yeah. So, but they had to take out that Dreadnought though. Like, you know, they didn't know that they were going to get followed.
Yeah.
Right. But if they had not had that hyperspace tracking technology, you know, they might've been fine.
Right.
But in the long run, it worked out because they all would have been dead within the 30 seconds it took to charge those cannons and blow them all out of the sky.
Yeah. I mean, the explosion on the planet was still going when they were adjusting the guns. It's like, what the heck? It's like, that's an awesome effect.
That is a great weapon. You know. But I'm guessing like some of the other people were like on the other ships, like as far as the leadership goes, they were kind of spread out maybe.
Yeah.
Because General Dodonna was on the salt planet.
What are you talking about?
Wasn't that Dodonna? The guy who stood up out of the
That's just some guy that
he just looks like him. Yeah. Okay.
He was in Force Awakens.
He was, that's why I thought that was the same guy.
I didn't feel like he was like high leadership. Like he wasn't,
I mean, according to Rebels he is. So,
oh, that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's in the Rebels too?
Yeah, he was in Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. Like
that's
there's
weird,
not
a
whole
that's
a
long time for him to be alive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
and look like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The resistance is small. It's much smaller than what the rebellion was.
Well, right. Yeah. Because it's just a split off of the Republic.
Well, it's not even a split off of the Republic. It's just a group of the Republic who said, we don't have an army and we need to do something to fight these guys. And if you're reading the Poe Dameron comic book, like the people in the Republic don't even believe the First Order exists. And they spend a lot of time trying to get footage of the First Order wiping people out. And, you know, so you go through and.
Which makes no sense.
None whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
But they retreated way past the Outer Rim to rebuild.
But then where did Rose and Paige come from? What planet were they from that the First Order
said,
had minded and then bombed it?
Like, because they're not on the Outer Rim.
Right.
In this movie.
Right,
or in The Force Awakens. They weren't in the Outer Rim at all.
No.
And they're not on the inner systems. They're not near Coruscant.
Right.
But, you know. They're close enough into like the main systems where you can blow four planets up at the same time and still see them with your eye.
Right. Yeah.
But that's not a thing that bothers me. Right. Like I'm okay with not knowing where the First Order necessarily came from.
Where their base
of
operations.
We didn't know where the Empire came from. We didn't know what Coruscant was.
Yeah.
In the first trilogy.
Right, yeah.
They never mention Coruscant.
The original trilogy,
The OT. Yeah. They never mention Coruscant.
No.
You know, so it's like, okay, we don't know where these guys come. We just know they have these big-ass ships, and they're chasing these people in these small-ass ships.
Right, and, yeah.
You know, they have a planet that's no moon, or, you know, a battle station that's no moon. Again, it's there's a lot of nits to pick with this movie with some people.
So the thing that I always, like, think of when people start nitpicking stuff like this is the conversation in Clerks.
Yeah.
The Death Star conversation with the plumbers and the, you know, contractors and that. And it's like, this is what it comes down to, like, that people, like, seem like they might not be happy with.
Yeah.
Is the little things. Do we need to know Snoke's origin?
Do we need the minutia?
I don't think
to
I need
quote Rocket.
I don't think I need Snoke's origin because I've already figured out what he is. An abusive father figure.
Yeah.
Like, the Emperor was not abusive to Vader in the sense that they tried to kill each other all the time.
But that was the whole rule of two thing that they were following. And Snoke is not a Sith.
No.
And Kylo is not a Sith.
No, because he's wearing a fancy gold costume.
Well,
I mean,
they
come
have
on.
This, as much as the Jedi, and they talk about the religion of Jedi, like Sith is very much a culty type religion as well. And there's certain things that they have to do.
Right.
And there's certain ways they commune with the Force.
Well, Snoke is the proof of what we get with Rey in this movie. Snoke's a nobody.
Yeah.
Snoke's just a guy who was a, you know, probably a clerk in the government
of
the Empire.
He was a prodigy with the Force.
Yeah.
And he took the easy way with the dark side.
He just went bad.
Yeah.
And that. But he wasn't trained by Sidious. He wasn't trained by Vader.
No.
I mean, that's kind of obvious because, you know, they could read minds a lot better than he could.
I think the reason he keeps bringing up Vader is because he knows it's a soft point with Kylo.
Well, right, yeah.
And he saw...
Well, it's the same as bringing up his dad. Right. It's like, you know, you're like your father.
You have the heart of your father.
Yeah.
And Andy Serkis crushed it in this movie as Snoke. He crushed it.
I like that he called Kylo out as a cosplayer.
Yeah.
Stop wearing that mask.
So I kept thinking... when I got out of the theater, I was thinking about that scene in particular. And it reminded me of the Batman Beyond Return of the Joker scene.
Yeah.
When... it was the flashback after Joker kidnapped Robin and he's sitting there showing the slideshow of how he tortured him.
Yeah.
And then he talks to Bruce and he's like, yeah, Bruce, I know your secret, you know, and you're just a sad little boy in a costume crying out for mommy and daddy.
Yep.
It'd be pathetic if it weren't so sad. Oh, what the hell? I'll laugh anyway.
Yeah.
Or it'd be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. What the hell? I'll laugh anyway is the line. And I kept going over and over in my head because that's what Kylo is.
Kylo?
He's playing dress up to get attention from the galaxy.
Well, it's
at
like he feels like he has to be Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, abusive Master Snoke was telling him. You're gonna be the next Darth Vader. You're gonna be I guess I gotta wear a mask where my voice sounds like funny and
take that,
you know,
ridiculous mask off. Or take that
breaks it in the elevator, I'm like, yeah, it's like
so
all right.
Adam Driver.
Show me that scar.
Adam Driver crushed it as well in this movie. I think his performance this time out was so much better than The Force Awakens. And I don't think he was bad in The Force Awakens.
It's just that he had more time to think about the character.
I think Ryan Johnson kind of pulled
out. But I mean, I think that, you know, because he was one of the last few casts.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sure he was rushed to set.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not given enough time to even develop your character at that point. And it's like, you know, he's had 2 years to think about what drives Kylo.
Yeah. And I think, too, this script.
And Adam Driver seems like that type of actor that he's probably sitting there
thinking
about.
Have you ever seen his TED Talk? He has a TED Talk about acting. Because he was a Marine.
Yeah, when he was talking about him being a Marine and that,
And you've never watched the whole 15-minute
I've never
one.
Watched the whole thing.
It's great. It's like YouTube Adam Driver TED Talk and watch it. But he's one of those ones where there's very few things I've seen him in that I didn't like.
Right.
Now, I've never watched Girls. I know he was on Girls, but I'm never going to watch Girls.
But like there was one movie where I watched where he plays the younger brother to Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
And
it's Thank You for Coming or whatever.
Yeah.
And where they're sitting Shiva for their dad.
Yeah. And he is awesome.
He's
in
so
that.
Good. And he's in the relationship with Connie Britton in that one. He's in another really good one with Ben Stiller where Ben Stiller's a documentarian. And
I haven't seen that one.
Adam is with Amanda Siegfried's.
Oh, okay.
And they're hipsters.
Oh,
and they
okay.
kind of glom onto them. And then, you know, they use them for everything that they can. And
sure.
then, like, get what they want out of his, like, friends and things
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
It's a good one. But, yeah, like, I enjoy it when he shows up in things. You know, and it's not that I don't necessarily seek out stuff that he's in, but like as
when
soon
he shows
as,
up, it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's that guy.
Like, I want to watch Lucky Logan because I never got to see that one with him and Daniel Craig. And I
that,
heard he's
yeah.
really good in that. But no, Kylo was great. Snoke was great. Their relationship was really interesting. Like you were talking about with the abuse, not just the abusive father thing.
Yeah.
But the whole, you know, you have to push like, you know, you have to push yourself further, Ben. To be this, you know, the darkness creeps up and the light to, you know,
right.
the light rises to fight it, or the darkness rises and then the light rises
yeah.
to fight it.
Well, even when
I don't,
he's
but
like,
I don't think he had the conflict that Rey saw. I think that was manufactured by Snoke.
Well, the thing, like, I think there was conflict in Ben, but I think it was more the conflict of, you know. I want everything.
Right.
I want it all. And how do I get rid of this guy?
Who do I have to kill to be in charge?
Yeah, exactly. And it's that whole thing, like, you know, even when Kylo brings Rey before him,
mm-hmm.
he's still like insulting him. Like
oh, yeah.
he's like, you finally have done a good job, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, yeah, you know, I'm the one who did that whole thing of joining you guys together. And Kylo looks
yeah.
up like, that it was you?
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's like, why did you manipulate me? It's like, why did you manipulate me? It's
yeah.
pretty much. And then that's when I'm like, he's at his breaking point at that point. Like, I'm going to take him out. And
yeah.
he had the perfect opportunity to do it.
Well, and he did. He acted on the opportunity.
Yeah.
Which seems to be the MO for Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
He sees an opportunity. He acts on it.
Yeah.
You know, I read someone in a comment was like, oh, I was hoping he was going to say, well, Han flicked on the lightsaber.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. He killed Han Solo.
Right, yeah.
He is the villain. Ben Solo is the villain of the story.
Ben Solo is worse than Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I mean, that's proved in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know.
Yeah. So, okay, so things I...
So what didn't you like?
So I did not like the storyline of going to find a master codebreaker.
The Canto Bight.
The Canto Bight stuff was some of the more beautiful film work.
Yeah.
The costumes were amazing.
We got to see aliens.
We got to see lots of aliens.
Right.
Finn and Rose together, I think, was awesome.
Yeah.
Because John Boyega and what's her name? Jessica. Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah.
Their chemistry is amazing. The two of them work so well
yeah,
together.
Yeah, they were really good together.
So I really like that. I did not like the idea of going after a master codebreaker. I told you, I think if they would have been going somewhere to look for fuel.
Yeah.
Would have made a little more sense because, again, breaking onto Snoke's ship to shut things down, it just, like, it was too convenient. Because this technology is brand new, and
right.
this girl who works around pipes all day is the one who knows how to shut it
down.
It's
like, we know about this tracking
yeah.
system, but the tracking through hyperspace, even if you think about it, it's like, wouldn't that be a little different?
Yeah.
So how
do you expect to actually get on there? And the guy who used to mop the floor. Okay, was he on Starkiller Base or was he on?
He's everywhere.
Was he on Snoke's flagship? You know, it's
he's
one
just
of those
scum.
Things. I guess yeah, he's stormtrooper scum.
Yeah,
but that was all set up to get him in front of Phasma.
Yeah,
so they could have that moment where. I think that moment could have been saved for the third movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think Phasma kind of rallying the troops to like escape
right.
the exploding, you know, flagship when what happened there. But I think Phasma was grossly underused.
Yeah,
I think they went to all the effort to do the journey to Force or Journey to the Last Jedi 4 issues with her.
Yeah.
and then the novel of
right,
Phasma.
Yeah, the origin for
to
Phasma.
To really set her up as she's very cutthroat. She's very much out for herself.
Right.
She's one of the baddest asses in the galaxy. And then, yeah, the fight with her and Finn went just the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
She beat him. She thought he was dead.
Right.
She turned to start fighting Rose, or, like, you know,
kill
opening
Rose,
fire
yeah.
on Rose and kill Rose. And, you know, he luckily landed on, you know, a platform.
One of the platform.
Came lift. Back up. Cheap shot.
Yeah.
You know, and then the floor fell in.
Right.
That's the only way I would
Do
have
you
been
think
satisfied
she died?
With that. I do, because, okay, so her armor
yeah.
is actually one of Palpatine's luxury yachts.
Oh, okay.
So, and if you know, he had multiple ones.
Well, sure.
And this was the one that Brindle Hux took out past the outer regions.
Sure.
And he crashed on her planet.
Okay.
That's where she met Brindle Hux. That's how she became part of the First Order. When she kind of rose through the ranks rather quickly, she went back to her home planet for two reasons. One, there's only one other person in the galaxy who has ever seen her face.
Right.
Because she even always wore a mask with her tribe. That
oh,
was
okay.
like a thing. They wore their war masks. But she went back to try and kill that person, which that person, the resistance found and grabbed
right.
her. But she also went back to take the shiny chrome-plated Nabooian
right.
style luxury yacht and fabricate stormtrooper armor
sure.
and a blaster out of it. So,
so
that's
it's not fireproof.
And that's why it's so powerful. But her face was exposed. So
a little
if
bit,
she
yeah.
comes back, like, I'll buy it just because they've set up in canon.
Well, and I talked to Aaron and Kenny, and
yeah.
they were both like, Aaron especially was like, it'd be cool if she comes back and that armor is like kind of charred.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, her face, obviously she loses an eye. And
maybe, yeah.
Know, that would be kind of cool.
I mean, because they've set it up in canon that that's really powerful armor.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw how the blaster bolts that Rose
right.
fired
yeah,
just
yeah.
like were nothing. So if she comes back, I'll buy it
yeah.
because I have the curse of knowledge in this case.
Right.
But if they bring her back, they're going to have to do something to explain it.
Like that the armor defend or the
yeah,
armor
something
protected
about,
her.
Yeah.
yeah.
They're going to have exposition within dialogue.
Yeah.
Saying where the armor came from and why.
Right.
Because there's another captain of the First Order, Cardinal.
Yeah.
Who's from the Phasma book, and his is solid red, and we did not see him.
At all. Right.
But she also tried to kill him.
Okay.
And he escaped and went with the resistance pilot that she was interrogating.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah. So, like I said, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen there. I think casting Gwendolyn Christie was a fun move, but
a wasteful move.
Ultimately, a wasteful move because,
right.
you know, Game of Thrones is coming to an end. Her,
right.
you know, her schedule for shooting this, she didn't even have a lot of time for The Force Awakens
right.
either.
Yeah.
You know, I think getting an actor or actress, whatever, who, an actress who was more
available right.
would have, I think we would have gotten more out of her.
Right.
I don't think she's Boba Fett because
she
talked.
Right.
She was a noticeable badass.
Right.
She knew how to use her armor.
Yes.
So,
well, and it's the matter of she's another one of the, well, like Snoke's pretty much like a straight up bully.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like she was one of the ones that was like kind of a straight up bully too.
Yeah. She's a bully. That's
yeah.
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And again, she's just this character that I've really enjoyed in the new expanded universe,
right, yeah.
the new canon. So if they bring her back, I'll be happy. If they don't, I'm fine with
You're
that.
You're fine
too.
With it, right?
Because I feel like that fight went down the way it should have. Because
DJ is going to be Finn's new foil.
I have thoughts on that.
Yeah.
But we can get that. I mean, we can talk about that.
Well, yeah.
So
we're not going in any kind of order.
No, we're just
here.
Kind of
it's just
stream
all,
of thought.
You know.
So DJ has Ezra Bridger's scars on his face.
But on the opposite side of his face.
Is it the opposite side?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fine. I'm done with that one. He's not
right.
Ezra Bridger.
He's not Ezra Bridger.
DJ is not a bad guy.
Not a good guy.
DJ is not a good guy. And DJ is as much as Snoke was a mentor to Kylo about, yeah, you know, the dark side of things, and Luke was a mentor to, or no, better yet, as Yoda was a mentor to Luke,
yeah,
on how things need to change with the light side. I think DJ will end up being a Hondo, if you will.
Okay. Yeah.
To Finn, much like, yeah, Hondo is to Ezra, to, sure, to go back to that, or as Hondo was to Obi-Wan.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's this whole thing of, you can't always look at everything as black and white. And you know, Star Wars fans, that goes for you too. You cannot like parts about this movie and still love it. You can like parts about this movie and hate it. That's 100% oh, yeah, fine. But it's not all or nothing. This is not the worst movie that's ever made. It's certainly not the best movie that's ever made.
It's not Attack of the Clones.
It's not, yeah. I mean, it's not the best Star Wars movie.
Well, the thing about it is, and people know this if they've listened to this podcast, Attack of the Clones is the worst one for me.
Absolutely.
And I sit there and I'm like trying to think, like, what do I like about Attack of the Clones? Like, if people say, what do you like about The Phantom Menace? Pod race. Pod race is like my favorite scene in that movie.
Yeah, and the Duel of the Fates.
And then Darth Maul, the Duel of the Fates, is probably my second favorite part of that movie.
You know, and I like Qui-Gon Jinn quite a bit.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
I
mean,
really
there's
do.
Characters I really like in that story, but like, if you told me to pick parts of that movie out, like, mm-hmm, if you told me to pick any part of any Star Wars movie out, I could tell you my favorite parts of, yeah, most of them. Attack of the Clones, I can't think of anything.
The clones, that's it. Like, seeing the clones.
Not even that, but because it wasn't anything special.
I just like when they come in, you know, at the end, like cavalry version
creatures,
of the clones. Yeah.
The creatures.
Yeah.
Like the Geonosians and the three creatures, okay, that chased them around the arena. Like, the creatures in that movie were great. And, you know, most of them were CG, but they had, you know, a lot of cool looking aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of that, yeah, I liked, okay, in that movie.
So I like the clones in it. I like, yeah, I like the new ships that we got to see, right, and that kind of stuff. It's like, where did this,
yeah,
all come from?
Yeah, I mean,
from?
The battle at the end is cool, but it's not like, you, yeah, know, the whole movie tainted it.
Yeah,
to me,
I think watching, like,
you don't
Jedi,
call a movie Attack of the Clones and then just have the clones, yeah, attack at the very end of the movie.
I think having Jedi fall like flies was interesting too. There,
yeah,
against the bugs,
right?
It felt very Starship Troopers.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Where
this movie felt very,
this is a very different Star Wars.
It felt
movie.
Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek-y.
So, I told you the episode 33, which is the first,
well, yeah,
episode in the series of Battlestar.
Well, and
Galactica.
Your thing, like, you didn't say that. The thing that you would have liked to see instead of Canto Bight was they go to a fuel planet.
Yeah.
Like, somebody should have went and got a fuel ship, brought it back, and, you know, at least, yeah, yeah, exactly, something. You know,
people wanted Lando. I think Lando in the casino makes zero sense,
no,
right? Like, Lando, maybe he runs the casino, sure. But we heard, oh, I don't want to see any more of the retread or this or that, or, you know, it was a New Hope all over again.
And, oh, you know, you're talking like just copying,
yeah, the copy and
movie.
Paste, and I don't think,
yeah,
yes, The Force Awakens shares things with A New Hope, but
similarity,
guess what? So does
Return
Phantom
of the Jedi?
Menace, and so does Return of the Jedi.
Yeah,
plain and simple.
Literally, they have to go destroy a big round thing in,
yeah,
all those movies,
in all three of those.
Yeah, yeah,
and to some extent, Rogue One, but you know,
well, you know,
anyway, but Rogue One's a little different.
Rogue One's just a piece of a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a glimpse at a moment of,
right,
a larger,
yeah,
universe. This movie, while it was very self-contained, right? It was a matter of just a few hours, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Felt like it really blew out the galaxy as far as seeing who's out there, seeing who's not out there.
Yeah.
In the case of, you know, the call for help.
Right. Did everybody,
yeah,
really give up hope, or are they marshaling their forces and didn't want to waste them fighting, you know, a small fleet of First Order?
I mean, I told
think
you,
there's still rebels out there.
I do think there's still rebels out there, but I feel like the galaxy's kind of sick of these Skywalkers.
Yeah.
Because the state of the galaxy is, and I've told you this, and,
right,
we talked about this last night. The state of the galaxy lands firmly on the shoulders of four people.
Yeah.
Leia, Luke,
yeah,
Kylo,
yeah,
and Anakin.
Right.
Anakin ushered in the Empire.
Yeah.
He brought about the end of the older of the Republic.
Right, yeah.
You know, Leia,
because of his own selfishness.
Because of his own selfishness.
Right.
Leia brought back the Republic, but didn't fix any of the corruption or nonsense that was in the Senate. Right. They just brought back a broken system.
Right.
And then she decided to rebel against, you know, that partially.
Well, that's
but
from
she
the books,
just went
right?
and looked for a fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Luke, in true Jedi fashion, messed up, refused to own up to it, and ran away.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, leaving a gaping power vacuum that, again, was left when the Jedi fell that Anakin stepped right into,
right.
that Snoke stepped right into. And Ben is just, he's evil incarnate at this
right.
point.
Yeah.
And he's stepping into this vacuum, and who knows what he's actually going to do at this point.
Nobody loves me.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody loves me, not even Rey. I asked her to come with me, but she wouldn't. But he was begging.
I know.
He was literally begging.
He said,
her
please.
It's
he
like,
said, please.
It's like he's not saying please because he wants you to join the dark side. He's yeah. saying please because he needs somebody to stop him.
He wants companionship.
Yeah, but I think he wants somebody to stop him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's where I'm like, you know, yeah, these are flawed characters all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And that's the beauty of it is there's the flawed characters. And for the first time in a long time, the heroes didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, you watch the Fast and Furious movies, they never lose. They don't they don't even lose fist fights
this
anymore.
This did do
right?
what like Empire did with the down note.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, things aren't good. Like, you know, things better get good by the end of this because
the Resistance is not the winner at the end of this movie.
No, oh no, no.
There's like 40 of them left.
Yeah.
You know.
That we know of.
Well, but they're yeah. all, you know, there's 40 of them and they're all
there's a fleet out there. Like
I hope so.
I bet there's a fleet out yeah. there. That's I mean, like
if they have a vice admiral.
Yeah. I mean, you had Admiral Akbar and all that.
Poor Admiral Akbar.
Yeah.
Flash frozen calamari. Anyway.
Do you mean like frozen fish?
Yeah.
Fish sticks.
Filet-o Akbar.
Who puts the entire command crew on the bridge? Why would you do that? Where is the battle bridge?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why is everybody like in the most... First of all,
the
we
most
have,
exposed?
We have three ships.
Yeah.
And we put everybody that's important up on the bridge.
And we leave our hangar bay doors open before we scramble any of our ships.
Yeah. And now it explains why a TIE fighter could hit a ship mm-hmm. easily and, you yeah. know, the Empire's Star Destroyers couldn't do anything
oh, yeah.
because of shields.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, they have shields.
And shields aren't new.
No. They're not new, but it's like, you know, we finally seen shields
working. But
we haven't
seen them actually in that.
Yeah,
you know,
the bouncing
because,
off
yeah.
the thing. You know, it's like, where was that during the Death Star battle?
Because the Millennium Falcon had the deflectors
right, yeah.
and that kind of stuff. But anyway, yeah, there's the Resistance made a lot of really poor choices. And the way they communicated with each other.
Yeah, they weren't very...
And I don't view that as a plot hole. I think it was necessary.
Yeah.
It was necessary for them to lose, right? They were riding high thinking, like, we're the Resistance.
We destroyed Starkiller Base. Woo!
But, you know, was destroying, like, yeah, you had to destroy Starkiller Base, just like you had to destroy the Dreadnought.
Why didn't somebody destroy Starkiller Base before it destroyed the Republic?
Yeah.
I mean,
they knew where it was.
Yeah.
They took a long time to plan that.
Man.
And then they only send X-Wings. They don't send. Why weren't those bombers sent after that shield went down?
That would have totally made sense.
Right.
Yeah.
They knew one spot that they had to hit.
Where did they get the bombers?
Yeah. Where are the Y-Wings? But
burning up on the Republic planet that was still burning at
yeah,
the beginning of this
man,
movie.
No kidding. The space scenes in this movie were awesome. The starfighters, the dogfights were great.
Yeah.
Watching Ben fly his TIE interceptor on steroids
whatever, yeah.
was the most Anakin thing we've
his
seen.
Ship.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just a giant TIE interceptor, really.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Those lines on it. The lines.
The lines.
It can spin a little bit better than a TIE interceptor.
Yeah, it was like the TIE Advance that Vader flew.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so there is a lot to like about this movie, and we haven't even talked about Rey and Luke yet.
Yeah,
I mean, really, we haven't.
No,
we've been
no,
talking
no.
about the Resistance the whole time. But before we get to Rey and Luke, I just kind of want to close out Snoke.
Sure.
Because the way Kylo ended Snoke. Is the one thing I have been wanting a Jedi to do since I was, or a Force user to do
yeah.
since I was a little kid. I never understood why they wouldn't just turn the lightsaber on when it's on somebody's belt and cut their leg off with it.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, especially when the...
maybe because no Jedi original, was ever powerful enough.
I guess, but he turned it, and I thought the whole time one of those big old paws of Snoke's was going to come down on that thing and turn it back away from
him. Yeah.
But he was so hyped on Kylo killing Rey that he was 100% distracted. And he said, I can never be betrayed.
Yeah.
Lightsaber lights up.
Yep.
And then it cuts him into just said, ribbons.
It's the whole egotistical. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing that brought down the Emperor. Yeah. It's the same thing that brought down the Jedi Order.
Right.
And it'll be the same thing that brings down Kylo Ren.
Yep.
You know, and then the battle that ensued with what I feel is the Knights of Ren, and I may be proven wrong, with the Praetorian Guard.
I think they were the less powerful Jedi that left with Kylo, yeah.
Because
Luke says that several of them left, and I'm like, 8 would be a perfect number.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, he brought 8 of them with him, and Snoke's like, well, they're not good enough to be, like, my apprentice, so they'll just be my protectors.
Yeah.
And I mean, they all had Force weapons.
Yeah.
I guess you would say. And the one thing that, like, I see it each time I watch it, is the one stops Kylo's lightsaber with his gauntlets.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's the Force.
Maybe.
I didn't think it was the gauntlets. I think he was using the Force.
Well, because I think Obi in Clone Wars had the gauntlets that would stop it. And so I don't know if that was the Force or if it was just like, some kind of metal.
I'm like, man, that was an awesome
lightsaber
battle. Mandalorian
armor can deflect. So, I mean, there's 1,000 different reasons, but
just by the visual dictionary, I'm sure it'll explain that.
Anyway, but that battle was great. My favorite scene was favorite part of that was where she threw the lightsaber at him.
Oh, yeah.
And he just turned it on and off real quick. Yeah. And you know, the hole was in the Praetorian's face.
Yeah.
Those guys were formidable.
Yeah.
Like, they were no slouches at all. Like, Rey and Kylo did not just march through
them.
Well,
it's like, just watching that, you know that Kylo has practiced with them before.
And he's trained them.
Yeah, and I'm like, they're definitely those Jedi that left with him.
Yeah.
Or Jedi trainees.
And it's the people that we saw in that flashback with him. Because he was the only one with the lightsaber. And they had weapons that looked pretty similar to what the Praetorians had. So who knows? They may not be the Knights of Ren. That's just my thought process on it. It seems to make sense that that's who would be there. And then killing Snoke, obviously they would turn on him.
Well, sure.
So,
well, right, yeah.
Because they don't know where he's going. Oh, is he going native with this girl?
They literally thought that he had be turned.
Did the light rise?
To the light, yeah. And it's like, you know, protect everything.
And it was, I think, the other thing, too, that was great is you kind of felt for a second like, holy crap, he's...
Yeah.
Are we going to root for this guy now? This mofo killed Han Solo.
Yeah.
Is Rian Johnson really asking me to root for him?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I'm emotionally ready to do that. And then, no.
No.
I'm the supreme leader now, right?
I wasn't surprised by that at all.
I wasn't surprised
that, you know, he became the devil at that point. It's like, you know, and he's willing to do what he has to do.
But fighting over the lightsaber.
Yeah.
And having it explode, right?
Yeah.
And then the next thing we see is Hux pulling out the gun to shoot him when he's out. Oh, I love that scene. That was so great.
And then he wakes up. He's like, oh.
And he's putting it away. He like,
I wasn't doing anything.
He clumsily puts it away.
Yeah.
Hux
was one of my minor issues because he kind of was cartoony in this one compared to being like maniacal in the last one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like one of those things where I'm like, yeah, it's a different writer. So it's like a different way of doing the character.
And he's a character that actually came from an abusive dad.
Right.
With Brendel. And, you know, again, he was always undersized. The fact they have someone as tall as Domhnall Gleeson playing him is kind of weird.
Right.
Because he doesn't necessarily fit the description. But then again, like, Hugh Jackman never fit the description of Wolverine. And now you don't see anyone else other than Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yeah.
Zac Efron. Anyway. Yeah, right.
I could be with that.
Yeah. Anyway. but yeah, no, I like the Hux stuff was here and there. I think he was too much of a whipping boy.
Yeah.
You know, Kylo force threw him into the control panel in the AT or in the on his ship. But it, the, what Snoke did at the beginning, where he dragged him around from across, not like Snoke's ship was nowhere near that. Right. That was pretty far away.
Yeah, so. I think at the end when they're in the rebel base, and just the look he gives Kylo, it's like that might be the downfall of Kylo Ren.
Yes,
is General Hux,
because he doesn't, you know,
he'll be the one general that never got force choked and like finally takes out somebody important.
Yeah, he doesn't respect Hux.
No.
Kylo doesn't at all. And Hux definitely doesn't respect Kylo. Right. He just thinks he's an impotent child.
Right.
But yeah. So that was, you know, I liked the arcs. I liked what the characters went through. I like what Hux went through as a character.
Yeah.
Because he was riding high.
Yeah.
And then he got put in his place. And then the Supreme Leader died. And he's all of a sudden like, wait a second, where do I even fit? Where do it's I like, fit
we're
into
screwed
all this,
at this right? point.
Like, I don't want to follow this guy. And, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seemed like.
And
too.
He got force choked.
Like, you know, he's like,
at that point when he's like, my supreme leader is dead. And,
but he didn't get killed like every other general and the admiral has. So I don't know. I mean, other minor things when Luke throws a lightsaber, we'll start with that? So I don't think it was done right.
Him just tossing it over his shoulder thing
kind of was like, okay.
I liked your idea.
My idea was that, like in Return of the Jedi, when Emperor like confronts him and says, "Join me,"
right?
You kill your father, join me, and he throws his lightsaber to the side,
right?
And says, "No, I am a Jedi as my father was before me." I think that when Rey handed that to him, he should have looked at it.
And
he should have just thrown it to the side,
not over his shoulder.
And she should have had the shock look on her face, and he should have walked away.
Right.
And it was been like,
you know. That's the only thing that should have changed in that scene.
Yeah.
And I can agree with that little detail
because I was like, you know, well, that was goofy.
I laughed. When he threw it over his shoulder, I laughed.
It was supposed to be a laugh moment. But I'm like, you know, I'm like, well, that was kind of goofy.
But he's also this weird hermit guy now who's been on a planet with caretakers and porgs
and no force
and completely shut himself off to the force, so he's been kind of
he's lost his mind,
some marbles there.
I don't think he isn't snapped into reality until Chewbacca knocks that damn door off the hinges and comes in there and it's like, where's Han?
And it's at that point where he says, where's Han? That he's like, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
This is actually happening.
Yeah, this is like, you know, it's not in my head.
These people are here.
Yeah. Yeah, when she mentions the Falcon and he you know, it seems like he snaps into reality.
For a sec.
And is like, where's Han? Yeah. And, you know, then it's like, okay. He still doesn't want anything to do with anything.
Right.
But now he's like, oh, it's bad out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad out there.
Yeah. What,
I want to die more now.
What did you do to my galaxy?
Yeah. He's literally like, I want to die more now.
But, I really liked the dynamic with them. I liked how he recognized, one, that the Jedi Order was romanticized.
Yeah.
The Jedi's, I mean, I've said
especially it before. Especially after him, you know. Him saving the galaxy from the Empire.
Right. And I've said it before. They were brought down by two schmucks from Naboo and Tatooine.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the Jedi Order was brought down by two people.
It was necessary, you know?
And it was because they were so up their own butts.
Yeah.
And they thought they were, like, you know, Mace Windu is the poster child for what was wrong with the Jedi Order. He was OP. You know, he was way overpowered.
Yeah.
He thought he was invincible. He didn't really trust the Force.
Right.
He just thought, I got this. And then he didn't actually look beyond what was in front of him. He didn't lived in the moment.
The whole thing where, you know, and obviously we can write it the way we want to write it in our heads. The Jedi Council should have never existed.
Right.
All the Jedi should have had a say in what happens.
Yeah.
And then it's like the Jedi Order totally makes sense at that point. Mm-hmm. Because then you can pick the bad ones out. You can pick the flawed ones out. You know who's, you know, angry like the Inquisitor who, you know, doesn't have access to the library, doesn't have access to this. It's like, I'm referencing the Darth Vader comic book in case you don't know this.
Yeah, the Grand Inquisitor.
It's one of those things where the Jedi Order was flawed because They only had 12 guys on a council who were making the decisions for every single Jedi in the galaxy.
Of Jedi.
And it's like, why is that happening?
There should have never been, like, the hierarchy. There shouldn't have been masters.
Yeah.
You know, there should be, like, master apprentice as far as, like, teacher apprentice.
Teachers, yeah.
But, like, you know, Jedi Knight, great. That's, yeah. If you want
to
call
it that.
Like,
they all
should
have been knights.
Yeah.
And that, and yes, there's a leader to that, you know, group. And that Yoda, obviously, would have been the leader. But to have masters who sat on a council and all these Jedi, you know, it's understandable that some of these Jedi would be, like, not happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, easy for Sidious to just snake in and pick one of them, pick any one of them out and turn him.
Like
and
Barriss,
it was Anakin.
Like what he did to Barriss, too. Yeah. You know, and yeah, you look at Asajj. You look at, you know, she was a Jedi Padawan.
Yeah.
You look at Dooku. He was a full-fledged Jedi Master.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You know, everything you said in that sentence
and that's
is
pretty
100%
much
correct.
What Luke was saying to Rey, like at a certain point when he's training her, because he tells her, I'll give you three lessons.
And I thought that was perfect.
Did you like the third lesson?
Yeah.
Just lift rocks.
Just lift rocks.
And I'm like, this totally makes sense. You just lift rocks.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I really enjoyed that. I loved Daisy Ridley in this movie.
Yeah. She's really like, you know, I haven't seen her in anything else, but she's really good at these.
She's so optimistic. You know, they did such a good job of not sexualizing her.
Yeah, she's very plain.
And it's not even plain. I mean, she's still beautiful.
Well,
like,
right.
You
but
know,
I mean,
they,
like,
they
very
nothing,
plain in
yeah.
the sense of, you know, she's not running around in a gold
she's
bikini.
Utilitarian.
Yeah.
Is kind of the way. You know, because that's what she had to be on Jakku.
Right.
The scene in the dark pit with the mirror.
Disturbing.
So cool.
Yeah, but
and
disturbing
the
same
snap,
time.
But I love the snap and how they all didn't snap. It was one after another.
Yeah,
and
just
then it
the
circled
ripple,
back.
The ripple effect.
And that was really cool. You know, the whole thing about who her parents are, and then she just saw herself.
Were you happy with, were you satisfied with that?
Yeah, I was 100% happy with that.
Okay.
I mean, I joked. Like, I know you were saying she was a Palpatine.
I liked the idea, like, you know, if, and it's one of those things where I say it because Marvel does the Star Wars comics. What If comics with Star Wars would be fun.
Right.
Because this is the type of stuff where I'm like, Snoke and her being clones.
Yeah.
Would have been a cool thing to do.
It would have been a neat
twist.
But
it would have been like a, what the hell just happened?
But I was
I liked the idea of them and her finally, you know, professing it, confessing it,
because
whatever.
She told
him, I knew who they were.
You know, she told him that she knew.
Yeah,
and so he didn't lie.
Right,
but at the same time, I was never so in love with like my theory of who her parents were.
Right,
because I constantly joked that it was Ezra Bridger and any of seven different women.
Right, yeah.
You know, so I never took it serious who she actually was.
My
so
thing,
I like that.
Honestly, I never cared.
Yeah,
I was like, if she's somebody, she's somebody. If she's not, she's not. Because my point of view is that when Qui-Gon found Anakin on Tatooine, he was nobody.
Yeah.
He was a pod racer.
Yeah.
He was a successful pod racer and a slave.
When we first came across Luke Skywalker in a New
Hope.
The
whiny kid from
a
moisture farm.
He just wanted to go get power converters.
Yeah. Just want to hang out with my friends.
He just wanted to go. He wanted to go to the Imperial Academy and be a TIE pilot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He wasn't just some rebel. You know, he was some kid from
just
nowhere.
Just some kid from nowhere.
He was a moisture farmer.
It's like, you know, he was more important in the sense that, you know, obviously his mom and dad were, you know, who they were.
But we didn't know
but
that.
But we didn't know that when we seen the first movie.
We didn't know that until Empire.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. But it's like the whole thing with Rey, it's like, you know, she is from a desert planet. She is no one. Mm-hmm. She just has Jedi powers.
Right.
And my thing is,
and she happens to be strong in the Force.
Yeah. The thing is people have a problem with the epilogue.
Yeah.
With the kids on Canto Bite.
But
my thing, my whole feeling on that is, this is the proof that there are Jedi everywhere.
Well, that, and they bet.
Or not Jedi. There's Force wielders everywhere. And it's one of those things where everybody's a nobody.
So they met Rey, They met Rose and Finn.
Yeah.
Right? And Rose says, we're part of the rebellion. Here's my secret decoder room.
Right.
You know, and that right there was a spark in those kids because they were sharing the story that had become legend in a very short amount of time. You know, because when we meet Rey, it's what, 30 years after the second Death Star?
It's 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
The people in the Outer Rims do not believe any of that happened. And that makes sense because they are in the
Rey's hopeful with it. It's true because she's obviously used her force powers at certain points on Jakku, but she doesn't know what it is.
Well, it's like Anakin didn't recognize he was using the force to pod race.
When she's in the tree and Luke's like, "Who are you?" And she's like, "I'm nobody. I'm nobody from nowhere."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Where are you from?" And she's like, "Jakku." And he's like, "Well, yeah, that's."
He goes, "Everybody's from somewhere."
Yeah.
"Where are you from?" Jakku. Yeah. He goes, "Oh, yeah, that's nowhere.
That's pretty much nowhere."
Okay, Rey from nowhere.
Yeah. But it's literally like, you know, you're nobody. You're not that important, except for you have an important ability.
I think what makes her important.
We could go to the Green Lantern reference on that one. The reason why Hal Jordan was picked for that ring was because he had the ability to
overcome
great fear. Rey has the abilities to do what needs to be done.
Rey is the torchbearer.
Yeah.
So you could say she's Kyle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she's comparable to both of them. Yeah.
You know, she's creative. She's, you know,
right.
She understands black and white, like in the necessary grays.
Right.
Rey is not a Jedi.
No.
I don't think Rey will ever be a Jedi.
No.
In the
strictest
terms.
She's the new generation of Jedi.
Of light force wielders.
Yeah. She can get angry and still be able to, you know right from wrong.
I mean, because he even said, you saw the dark place and you went right to it.
Yeah.
But she didn't go to it maliciously. She wanted to see what
was
down there.
She was just seeing what everything was.
Yeah. She was, I mean, her mind had
life
opened.
And death and light and dark. It's like, you know, it's all part of the force.
Right.
And that's the thing is like, you know, this was a very good explanation of the force.
The best.
Yeah.
Right? Because she said, the Jedi's use it to trick people and do this.
Lift
and do
rocks.
That.
The
Jedi's have this power.
Right. Because the powers that she used so far was swinging a lightsaber around and using her mind trick on a stormtrooper. So she knew those few things. And lifting rocks.
Right.
Because that's the legend. That's part of the legend.
But,
And that, but you know, it's the thing where the explanation he gives her about the force is all around you. The force is in everything.
And that's what Ben told him.
Yeah. And it's like, you know,
he expanded upon it. Right.
Right.
He was like, it's the things. It's not just what binds us together.
Right.
It is that space in between everything.
Yeah.
And the people who have the ability to use the force have the ability to reach out and see that.
Right.
And when she reached her hand out, I laughed so freaking hard.
Yeah. That was one of the funny moments where I'm like, that's legitimately funny. Like, that should have been there. Like, because she don't know any better.
She's so naive.
Yeah.
In that
she
instance.
Doesn't know any better. And it's like, you know, Mark Hamill's great in that scene with the freaking piece of grass. Yeah. It's like,
oh,
he knew
it
was coming already.
It. Oh, yeah. You feel it? Slap. You know? And then he throws that over his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know?
He likes throwing stuff over his shoulder.
So Yoda.
Yeah.
Practical effect Yoda.
Not that good.
No. The puppet's face was like someone smushed it, right?
I'm like, why didn't anybody just go in the archive and get
the... It looks
like
they shrinky dinked him.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Right? But man, Yoda was great.
Oh, yeah. I liked his
legs when he was laughing, the way his legs were going up and down. He's been communing with the Force now for 30 years.
Yeah.
The living Force. Able to come back, able to interact with the real world.
Right.
You know, bump Luke on the head.
Well, I mean, if you look at
Force Lightning,
Obi-Wan walks through Dagobah's forest and trees sway out of his way because the Force is a power.
Right.
You know?
So I imagine
striking lightning on that tree. I mean, it was like,
that was so cool.
Yoda would be that powerful.
I think Luke will be back to haunt Kylo and help Rey.
Yeah.
And this will allow him to be in both places at once.
I don't
see
them not utilizing Mark Hamill.
No.
I mean, you know.
But I think, so if Luke.
Especially with Carrie being gone.
So if Luke lives, right?
Yeah.
He can only be in one place at one time.
Right.
Because he can't do what he did. And we'll get to that final battle here in a sec. But like, with Luke as a Force ghost.
Yeah.
He can be helping Rey and pissing Kylo off at the same time, you know,
just rubbing that wound.
So
yeah,
it's just putting the salt there, like, you know, hey,
I told you that I would haunt you.
Yeah,
yeah,
because he said, "See you around, kid."
Yep, see you around, kid.
Which is what Han said to Luke.
Yep.
And then you were assuming that Han obviously said that to Kylo at some
probably
point,
yeah, so, as a kid, yeah. You know. Well, it's the whole thing where when Luke's explaining that when they left Ben with him, it's like Han was Han.
Yeah.
So Han just said, "See you around, kid."
See you around, kid.
Yep. I like the idea that Kylo, when she confronts him about killing Han, he's pretty much says, "I didn't hate him.
Yeah.
I loved him."
Yeah.
You know, not in those words, but it was like, "I didn't hate him. I just did what I had to do.
I didn't kill him because I hated him.
Yeah.
I killed him because it's what I needed to do to move up in my Scientology-esque, you know."
Sure, yeah.
Journey.
You know, his cultism, the cult of Ren.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was the whole thing where it's like, you know, he says it, "Let the past die."
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to kill everything.
Yeah. Let the past die. Kill it with fire.
Yeah. 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 When the fire will light the torch, that'll blah, 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 blah. The spark, the flame, blah.
So we both read The Road to the Force Awakens.
The
Rucka one.
The two-parter one?
Yeah.
With the tree. Yeah.
So Poe's got that other tree somewhere.
I would hope so.
Luke gave it to Poe's mom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows what's happening with that one?
Poe's got a tree somewhere for Rey, and he's going to take her and see it. Yeah? He totally hit on her.
You think?
Yes, he did. Hey, you like my droid? You like me then, too. Hey, my name's Poe.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting, because I guess in the Force Awakens novelization, they met.
Oh, did they?
And they've said that that's canon, but then... You know, so
I didn't know
I didn't
met.
Read the Force Awakens novelization because I watched the movie.
Sure, yeah.
But I did like that whole like meeting of
I wish
them,
they wouldn't do so. Like all these books are canon and that. It's like, you know, it's really hard. I'd have to go on a wiki page because I don't want to read all these books.
Yeah.
I got burned once reading all these books. I'm not getting burnt again. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the last battle, and then I want to get into the whole, like, ratings and things like that before we close out.
We already did ratings on the movie.
Well, no, I mean, like, the Rotten Tomatoes stuff and,
okay,
sort of thing.
The Metacritic stuff.
All right, so the final battle was so much more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was
you
so
You thought it was
good.
Just going to be Resistance versus First Order?
I just did, yeah, I wasn't, well... No, I thought they were just going to, like, steamroll over.
Like, we'll see you next movie, Luke.
Right.
We'll see you next movie.
So he shows
up. We'll see you. We'll come to Octo and pick you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he shows up, and I'm like, why did he dye his beard and cut his hair?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening
here?
It's
like,
here?
Damn, you look like Mark Hamill now.
It's Yeah, it was like, it's less Santa Claus and more Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
And then when they shot him when it's fire every laser
fire
that we have
everything.
On that man, it's like, oh, he's not there.
Yeah, my thing when I thought he was not there was when he starts moving around
and he's not
and there's
footprints.
No reaction by the foot. Yeah, the
All
footprints
right, but here's
aren't
the
happening.
Thing. All right, so and this is the greatest Jedi mind trick that has ever been. He fooled C-3PO, a machine, into thinking he was there.
Right.
He fooled Leia, who we saw is stronger in the Force than, you know, she cares to admit. We saw that, and, you know, she believed he was there.
Yeah.
So the fight was great. It happened exactly how it needed to happen.
Yeah.
And then I love when he sliced through him and then he walks up slowly and then slowly puts the lightsaber through him. Yeah. It was like, man, that's exactly how you would react.
And then it's see you around, kid. So, yeah.
But no,
just,
that was
just
great.
his whole demeanor of challenging Kylo the way he did.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he was ready to do it and he did what he had to do and ended his existence in the reality of the world.
He joined the living force.
Yeah, and that's because of the conversation he has with Yoda.
Right.
You know, you don't need to be around. Rey knows everything that's in those books.
Yeah.
and stole the freaking books.
Right. How like, cool is that?
How freaking awesome that, you know, you really have to pay attention that she's closing a drawer before she gets in an escape pod. And then when Finn opens the drawer and you're like, hey, wait, that's, yeah.
Those are the Jedi text.
Yeah.
She stole the Jedi text.
And she
right
looks, she even looks over his way like, I wonder if he's seen that.
I wonder if he noticed what that was.
Yeah.
All right. And then, as they're escaping to get down to the planet, as we're going like completely manic and out of order here.
Oh, that's okay.
So I liked Laura Dern in this.
Yeah.
Which kind of surprised me because I'm not the biggest Laura Dern fan.
Right.
I like her in some things. Mostly I don't. She was so sincere in this role, that character.
Right.
Right. She was so very sincere. That in the way that Linus talks about sincerity and Peanuts.
Right.
Right. She was just genuinely good.
Right.
To the point where I
does that make her more flawed, though?
I do. I think so, because she should have shared her plan.
Right.
Especially knowing
not
what
just
she,
with the command group that was, you
but
know,
specifically Poe, because she kind of put him in his place, which he needed, because, you know, he got demoted.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, I'm Commander
him
Dameron.
To go to his station was like, you know, okay, that's cool. But then you should have, like, there should have been the scene, the next scene where she pulls him in to the room and says, this is what's happening.
This is what's going on.
You have no control over anything. You know, you're going to be on one of these ships and you're going to fly.
You don't have, yeah. You don't have an X-Wing.
Yeah.
So right now you're worthless to me.
Yeah.
But this is what we're doing. Don't go and Poe Dameron it up.
Right.
Because that's exactly what happened. And, you know, I think, again, where if she had told him, this is where we're going, and Poe's like, you guys need to go get his fuel so we can, so we know the best way to get out of here.
Yep.
Or so we know we can keep out of range. Because if they wouldn't gotten fuel, the medical frigate and the blockade runner would still be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
They would have had more people.
Right.
That wouldn't have died.
Right.
You know, because I think that, like, blowing up the big ship would have been a cool idea.
Yeah.
And what they did was an awesome idea.
So
hyperspace jump through a ship.
Well, because Hera did that in Rebels.
Yeah.
But she went into hyperspace as she was through flying through the hangar bay.
Right.
And she exploded the ship that way.
Yeah.
But flying through the ships. And the decision to go vacuum a space with the sound was so disturbing. And cool.
Well, and the way they shot it, the lighting and everything, it's like, you know, man, that literally the first show I seen, Full House.
Yeah.
And that, and it's dead quiet at that point. And then all of a sudden, this kid out of nowhere goes, whoa! And the whole, like, we all lost it. We're cracking up at him. But it was like one of those things where it's like, that's, I think, the reaction everybody was having.
Yeah, my Friday morning.
And he just voiced it.
My Friday morning showing, it was, like, yeah. Like everybody took a breath at the same time, and then it was the explosion out. Like, but seeing his ship with like the one wing broken off, I want that as a poster.
Yeah,
so
like just
bad.
Hanging there in space.
I want Joe. Like, to, I actually want Joe
Star
to
Destroyers
draw that for me.
Burning.
Yeah,
in the background, and like some Star Destroyers were okay. Lucky thing, I was out on that edge. But like some of the Star Destroyers, it was like they were burning, and it's like, yeah, that looks beautiful.
It was so good. And it was such a smart move. But again, like, why didn't they move the you know, that ship into place to kind of block for the escaping, you know?
Well, it was that whole thing where
I thought they said
that to you, where it's like, did anybody teach anybody not to broadcast, you know, information when you're around people you don't trust?
Right. Well, and they lost the cloak because DJ obviously,
because
like,
he heard it and he saved himself.
Right.
The black and white. The black and white.
Yep. Like, DJ was great. He wanted the money to get out of there.
Here's
and that
one
was the
complaint
only way
I have about Benicio del Toro. Why in these movies does he have to have some kind of vocal weirdness going on?
Why was he Space Mumbles from Usual Suspect?
The tick, 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 tick. Yeah. The tick, 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 tick thing. And it's like, even the collector, he was like, the collector made sense.
This
in
was
Guardians
his character from
but yeah,
Usual
it was.
Suspects.
It was his mumbling character. And I'm like, why can't you just talk like you do in that commercial where you're mistaken for whoever you were making?
A freaking Sicario.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I have never seen, but.
Ooh, it's on Hulu and Amazon.
Well, I know
and
that.
Two
now.
Comes
it's
out.
Like,
two's
know.
Coming out soon. But yeah, no, I agree.
I'm like, it would have been better if he would have just been like, you know,
kind of normal.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're playing alien, where's your antenna or something like that?
Sure.
It's like, you should have had something that made you alien looking. I liked his interactions with BB-8.
Yeah.
I thought that was, BB-8 was fun in this movie. And it's like, it wasn't cutesy fun. It was just BB-8 being BB-8.
He was R2-D2
He was kind of chopper R2-D2 yeah. type fun. And that. At least yeah, he had a bad feeling about it.
Yeah, he did. Happy beeps. Yep. Happy beeps. I lost my train of thought. As 10 stabbing.
Oh, well, anyway. You're talking about the ratings.
Well, no, before that, we have the last thing is we have to talk about the floating force elephant in outer space.
Yeah?
With Leia.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
They could have just killed her off.
Okay.
And I would have been okay. But
so
I'm like,
when she died, the movie was done and in the can.
Yeah.
Like they had to redo the whole second and third act of the movie. Like, they couldn't do that.
Right. And I think
then
your
you end up
idea
with a Justice League situation.
Well, I think your idea of recasting
they have
her
to recast her
would make sense at this point.
It's not a disrespect to Carrie Fisher if you recast.
I think that Carrie Fisher would be fine with it.
I think
like you said,
I think Carrie Fisher would want Leia to live on. I think you make sure Billy Lord is involved with the casting process.
Yeah.
And by the way, Billy Lord was amazing in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved her so much.
She's
Poe's girlfriend.
I was going to say, I like the idea, that was just me spouting it off. I said she was Poe Dameron's girlfriend. Like, literally.
Or his side piece.
Yeah,
When he gets with Rey.
Well, I don't think Rey's going to be with anybody. But I like the idea that her character is Poe Dameron's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we just don't see it.
Right.
You know, but it's there. And it's like, or she really likes him a lot.
Yeah.
And he just don't know.
Because he's so handsome.
Well, right.
And he's swashbuckling. And
he's the pilot. He's the Han Solo.
Yeah. But no.
He's the Han Solo if Han Solo would have been in the military and not a pirate.
He's Han Solo when Han Solo never leaves the Imperial Academy.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
But which we'll see why he left the Imperial
Academy.
And
I love
that
Harrison Dula trained him to fly.
Yeah,
I really think that. I think that would be a cool, like, Force of Destiny story, showing that Hera taught Poe.
Well, and his mom was a badass.
Well, she
A-wing.
Was a really good
his
pilot,
mom and
too.
Dad.
Right.
His mom was, like, one of the best A-wing fighters, which those are the hard ones to fly anyway.
But I think the idea of Harrison Dula being Poe's teacher.
His mentor.
Yeah, would be a cool, like, thing just to do as a Force of Destiny cartoon.
Yeah, that would be neat.
Dave Filoni, if you're listening, that's a new story you can do.
So the Leia floating into space, though, like, that didn't bother me because it's not really a superpower. Like, the force kept her alive.
I was just like, where's the rest of the bodies at?
Was kind of pull. Well, but again, that's the force kind of keeping her close to the ship.
Yeah.
Because you've heard the theory that's come up that the reason the stormtroopers are so bad at shooting is it's the force making them miss.
No, I've never heard
You've
that.
You've never
before.
Heard
that's
that one?
That's weird.
Yeah, that's like the whole thing. It's why like the stormtroopers and the First Order troopers are so bad at shooting people. Because the clones were like spot
Dead
on.
Yeah.
Like they never missed. Or very rarely.
Right.
But the force is compensating for the evil. And it's like, all right, that's an interesting theory. And like, you know, if the force is the be all end all. But yeah. So I don't hate that as much as everybody else did. I think the way that she flew was kind of stupid with her hand out like that. I think she should have still been unconscious.
Right.
And like maybe the hand, like a hand could have gone out or something. And then, you know, that palm presses against the window.
Right.
But I thought it was too much.
Yeah. Like it was over.
It was just kind of overkill.
The music and the crescendo of
music.
Well,
and she was in the crucifix pose, the Jesus pose. You know, she's our savior. Because there's that other whole thing where Yoda wanted her to be the chosen one. And
I don't know. I mean, it was just one of those things where I'm like, when they blow the bridge out, I'm like, oh, if they're going to kill her off this way, this is the way to do it. And
it would have
like,
made sense.
You know, it would have been kind of cool. But I'm like, no, she's not going to die.
No.
And then when she shows up and opens her eyes, and I'm like, well, those should have burst out right then.
Right. Well, again, the force is...
Well, the force is protecting her, right?
Yeah. I love that she's
Do you think it's
Poe.
The balance because Luke is not in touch with the Force that the Force was giving her more?
Yes, because Luke was so closed off, the Force was looking out for her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're part Metachlorian, right? Like, if Anakin was a virgin birth, you know, he's from the Force.
Oh, so that's God's grandchildren.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, or Darth Plagueis' grandchildren. Yeah, however you want to look at it.
Whatever.
Yeah. So.
Snoke is Darth Plagueis.
All right. So, wow, we're at an hour and 15 minutes already. All right.
You always say that like you're surprised.
I am surprised.
Like,
we've been talking. Like, it's flown by.
I'm not. We had to talk about a 2.5 hour long movie.
Anyway.
And I think we've done a pretty fine job.
All right. So I love this movie. Like, I have my problems with it, but I love this movie.
Well, and I seen it with my girlfriend yesterday. Yeah. So it's like I said to her, she asked me afterwards because she knew, like, I had seen it with my sister. I seen it by myself. I seen it with my sister. I seen it with my girlfriend. And she was curious to know what my issues were with it. And I told her, and she goes, everything you said makes sense. But it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
And at the parts that were supposed to be funny, she laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this is made for everybody. This is not just made for Star Wars fans. This movie is made for a wide audience.
This is the Star Wars movie that cleared the table of the Skywalker family.
Right, yeah.
So that we can get into the business of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because the best episodes of the Clone Wars.
And we've only got one movie to go.
The best episode. Well, we have one movie to go to set up the rest of, you know,
whatever's getting set up.
Story. The best episodes of Clone Wars were the ones where Anakin wasn't even involved.
Yeah.
The best episodes of Rebels don't involve any Skywalkers. You know?
Yeah.
It's a much, you know, it's a first step to a larger universe that the Star Wars franchise needs to take.
Oh, you just quoted the movie.
See what I did there?
All you lit a fire that will burn through eternity.
I lit a fire that will burn the past. Burn it with fire. All right.
Why does everything have to involve fire?
I don't know.
It's kind of like Sorin, you know.
Well, fire burned anything.
Star Trek Generations where Sorin does that thing to Picard where he's like, you know, the fire is the flame that will burn the, you know, yeah.
Well, don't you remember in Angel when Layla, whatever if fire burned anything, it wouldn't be eternal.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right. All right, fans, if you're still listening, we know this has been long. The whole Rotten Tomatoes audience score
is fake.
You don't have to have seen the movie
to rate it.
To rate it on Metacritic, Rotten Tomatoes, or IMDb. If you want to know what the audience thought, the only one that is accurate is CinemaScore.
Okay. Is that the one where they survey you when
they
you come
give
out?
You a survey when you go in,
oh,
and they
okay.
give you a survey when you come out.
Okay.
And then because they want to see what your intent was, what your expectations
right.
kind of a thing.
Okay.
You know? So and then that is entered by hand by people onto an iPad within 10 minutes of the showing ending.
Ah, okay.
So like you can apply for that job.
Do they do that here?
No, I looked already. Yeah. All right. So there's a Facebook group out there of alleged Star Wars fans who want the EU to come back. They want that to bring back into canon. So they're butthurt, right? That they bought 75 books and read them and it's no longer part of their Star Wars story.
Okay, get over that.
Right.
Because well, and I do that because, you know what, we've got the Kelvin timeline in Star Trek. That doesn't mean that all of Star Trek that happened before the Kelvin timeline doesn't matter.
Right.
It just is not that universe.
Well, so here,
and the Legends universe is an alternate universe to the Star Wars
right.
universe that we're seeing now that's
and let's
owned
be honest,
by Disney.
The Legends universe
yeah.
is not all gold.
No.
It's probably 60% garbage.
Yuuzhan Vong was...
Yeah.
That was rough.
It's more garbage than good, in my opinion. And I've read a good chunk of it.
I was going to say, the like good stuff was the heir to the Empire, the Thrawn stuff. And obviously that was strong enough that Thrawn's in the regular canon now.
If Timothy Zahn wrote it, it was probably good.
Not all of it.
I said probably. That I didn't say
there
it.
Was like a couple.
I'm not a Sith.
Well,
I don't
it's just like Kevin J.
Absolutes.
Anderson wrote a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the young Jedi Knights books were really good in that. But it's one of those things where if you like it, stick with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't have to go to these movies. You don't have to be mad at Disney. If you're going to be mad at somebody, be mad at George Lucas for not being creative enough to continue on with his creation that he sold it to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly.
Right.
George Lucas is the reason why we have Disney making these movies.
Right.
It's not because Disney, you know, Disney's just going, hey, we got to make our money back.
Exactly.
I mean, the same thing is going to happen with everything they bought with 20th Century Fox.
Yep.
It's we got to make money.
Yep.
The only way to survive in this world with those kind of companies that spend a lot of money is you got to make a lot of money.
All right. So allegedly this Facebook group is saying that they created a bot that went out and created fake accounts to downvote the movie.
Oh, so they're the reason why.
So they're the reason why, because like the Metacritic and the Rotten Tomatoes or in the IMDb scores are right around like 80%, like mm-hmm. in the mid 80s
okay.
somewhere. The critic score is 93%. It's certified fresh, you know.
And these critics aren't paid by Disney at all.
No.
The ones that are paid by Disney, they still have their own opinion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, not every employee of this company is going to like this movie.
No.
You know, and, you know, there's some. Well, it's the perfect example of watching Jimmy Kimmel, because you didn't watch anything.
No, I watched nothing.
Jimmy Kimmel had the whole cast on there, and he literally said, who doesn't like the Porks? Mm-hmm. And John Boyega raised his hand, like, right away.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't like them at all. He goes, I don't like them, but yeah. it's part of the story.
Porks
and it wasn't even that big a deal.
Yeah, the Porks were nothing.
The only thing my sister said was, why are there so many animals in this movie? And I was like, for there not to be any consequences with the animals, except right. for running through a city, doing their Jurassic Park
right.
cup moment.
Mama,
and that,
mama.
It was just that. It was like, you know, yeah, there was no real consequences to the animals. The crystal foxes, I was disappointed yeah. with, because I'm like,
right.
Oh.
You know, they were the MacGuffin for the way out.
Yeah,
to
yeah, it was
the
that the whole they had to be the way out. But it's like the Rebels cartoon has done more with animals that made sense to the story.
The Loth Wolves
than,
and
yeah,
the Loth Cats.
The Loth Cats, are, the Loth yeah. Wolves, you know, and the Owl
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. It's like, you know, it's all made sense. But like, yeah, my sister was like the best reviewer, because she's like, it wasn't a bad movie. She goes, and I was like, well, how did you feel about this? Like, I was literally yeah. hitting the moments that I was not totally happy with. And she goes, yeah, you're right about Hux being kind of cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, and the lightsaber throw was kind of goofy. And that's what she said. She said that was kind of yeah. goofy. And she was like, anything else was just there. But she's like, the animal thing that makes sense.
This movie is more in line.
I'm like, this to sell toys.
This is more in line with Rogue One.
Yeah.
As far as like just kind of a different kind of Star Wars.
Yeah. It's the thing where I don't need to be told the same story over and over
exactly.
again. Force Awakens complaints were that it was very similar to New Hope. Yes, it was very similar
but
to New Hope.
But it was unfortunately necessary, because, again, George Lucas told a very uncreative and uninspired trilogy.
Prequel. Yeah, the prequel
that was
trilogy,
the prequel
or,
that we
yeah.
didn't need.
Yeah. I didn't need that origin.
We didn't need any of that. If anything, it makes Darth Vader less compelling.
Right.
It makes the Emperor much less compelling.
Right.
And it just, you know, like, great. Luke and Leia had a mom. We knew that. We didn't need to
Woo-hoo,
see who she was.
Yeah.
Why did she have to be royalty
somewhere,
on some other planet?
I'll have to find it so you can read it. Somewhere I have what was a treatment for the Journal of the Wills.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be that prequel story.
Yeah.
And it's totally different.
Yeah.
And it actually is kind of cool and compelling. Right. And makes Anakin Skywalker look like he will become Darth Vader in that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we got that with the Clone Wars cartoon.
Well, right. Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, that's the only good thing.
The Clone
that came
Wars
out of the
cartoon
prequels.
Balances out the prequels.
Yeah.
It's the light side to the dark
right.
side of the prequels.
No.
Yeah.
The dark side rises and the light to meet it.
Thanks, Dave Finoli.
George, you're the dark side.
Well, and I mean, George Lucas, I think at that point had seen the error of his ways with the prequels.
Yeah.
Because he was running that Clone Wars at the time. Yeah. And it's like the stories that they were telling and letting Dave Filoni have control of it.
Yeah.
And letting the writers, including his daughter,
mm-hmm.
come in and write their stories and making a more, like you said, compelling Anakin
right.
Skywalker, a more compelling story to make it go, this is why Revenge of the Sith makes sense now.
Right.
Like, literally, it's like
in a way, I have to say, I'm glad that George Lucas did do the Clone Wars, because it makes Revenge of the Sith make total more sense.
It makes me like Revenge of the Sith more than Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it flips back to the regular order there.
And we're not going to do the list of order of these right now, because I have to look at, you know, look at them all again. And
yeah,
I can't think straight on whether
we shared on Messenger, but right. I think yours.
But I'm going back and
forth
on things.
And you had something that was a tie, which,
yeah,
I think you need to pony up and decide which one is which.
Yeah. The Ewok Adventure. Second best Star Wars movie.
See, the second Ewok Adventure is my number one Star Wars movie.
Oh, Battle for Endor? Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right.
Star Wars Christmas specials in there.
Oh, that's number three.
Well, and my thing is like, do you, if you want to do a true list, do you count the Ewok Adventures?
No.
Because
I only count the theatrically in Europe. Yeah, I know. I only count the domestic theatrical.
So you
got to
talk about Clone Wars then. Yeah.
If I got to put that Clone Wars movie in there, it's just behind
Return of the Jedi.
So.
Because it's four episodes. Just put together.
It is not indicative of what that series was.
Right.
So, all right.
Okay, that's it.
Anything else?
That's it. You know, click on that link for Comixology.
Yep, 94% off on Star Wars bundles. You know,
you can read your Legends stuff. If you love the Legends, it's all in there.
There you go. If you don't want to read comics, we still have our Patreon page, infamouspodcast@patreon.com. Patreon.com/infamouspodcast.
I'm so confused right now.
So confused. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this. Just remember, no matter what you thought about the movie, if you loved it, if you hated it, if you just liked it, other people are allowed to have an opinion on the movie, and you should not get
just make sure your opinion is a solid opinion.
Have a reason to back it up. Yeah. Don't just hate it because, you know, somebody else hated it.
Or just because you're, like, just mad at a few small things.
Right.
I'm mad at a few small things, too, but I didn't hate it.
I mean, I didn't like any of the casino stuff for the most part, but it was necessary to get to that scene with the kid force grabbing the broom and
necessary
having
for,
the
you know,
rebellion.
For Benicio Del Toro to show up.
Exactly. Where he could have showed up completely differently. But anyway. All right. On that note, we will be back next week with the best movies of 2017.
Have a Merry Christmas.
And Merry, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, because it'll be a few days before Christmas.
And if you hate your family, listen to this on Christmas. Just put your earbuds in. Ignore your family.
Man, that's just cold.
Anyway, don't Kylo Ren it up.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good one.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.